Do not adjust your television. What you are about to experience is stranger than fiction.
Hey there, strangers. My name's Devin.
Hello, Devin. My name is Heidi.
Hello. Now I wanted to let you know I'm super self-conscious every time I say, hey there, strangers,
because
of last time. last time Heidi said I was a little too creepy.
Hey there, strangers.
Welcome to Stranger Than Fiction. If you've never been with us before, we actually run a YouTube channel called
Channeling Spirits.
We explore all sorts of supernatural things in pop culture, and for our podcast, what we do is we take a episode or a movie in this case, and we do a deep dive into not only the content of the movie, but also how realistic are those creatures or monsters or ghosts, and what's kind of the background behind it.
Yes.
So what is our topic today?
We are discussing the Mothman prophecies.
Yes, the infamous Mothman. That was good.
That was my Twilight Zone.
I liked it.
Thank you.
What do you remember, like, the first time you got into or like learned about cryptids? I think I'm jumping the gum.
It was actually fairly recent.
Well, all right. Why don't we actually explain what a cryptid is?
Sure, go for it.
Oh, you're just going to throw me?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. For those of you who don't know, so cryptozoology is the study of hidden creatures, I think is like the literal definition. And so it's, you know, exploring Bigfoot and Loch Ness Monster. And cryptids are those creatures, those monsters of cryptozoology. I hazard to say monsters. They might be real animals.
They could be.
Did you know that the okapi was the official symbol of cryptozoologists?
What?
Because for the longest time, it was thought to be a myth.
Are you serious?
They actually discovered that the okapi was real.
That's crazy.
And so that's like, they're like, we got one.
We got one!
Thousands they didn't get, but the okapi they claim.
Ah, they're so soft and velvety, but then when you're done petting them, your hand is like all brown.
We're not here to talk about okapis. Okay. We're here to talk about the Mothman.
Many times.
So, I'm sorry, I interrupted you. When did you start learning about cryptids?
Cryptids, fairly recently. So, I mean, I knew of them. I just didn't know that's what they were called.
Gotcha.
Until probably like 2 years ago. When I was listening to other monster podcasts and they referred to cryptids, and I was like, what's that?
Yeah.
And then I looked it up, and each state has a cryptid. The Georgia state cryptid is some lake monster, not Nessie, but it's like Addie, or it's some weird long name.
Oh, but that's exciting.
It's a thing.
Wow.
Some people think it might be alligator gar.
Alligator gar?
Yeah, like the fish.
What?
Never mind.
Okay. You're doing weird animal things. We're here to talk about fake animals or potentially fake animals. I remember I was in like sixth grade and I rented a or checked out a book from the library, and it was all about cryptids.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So it had like stuff on like the Dover Demon and a lot of stuff on obviously Nessie and Bigfoot. And they had stuff on the Mothman. So like that's when I first started being vaguely aware.
Gotcha.
And I saw the Mothman prophecies shortly after it came out, but this was your first time.
Yes, I saw it yesterday.
So you've got a lot of opinions and thoughts. Why don't we move on to our next section called
Heidi's Dissection.
Woo! Okay, so the Mothman Prophecies is starring Richard Gere and the one woman I don't like.
Laura Linney.
Sorry, Laura, if you're listening.
It could have been Deborah Messing.
I love Deborah. She's
Oh, you're
great.
On a first name basis.
Yes, we're close friends because we're both gingers. So it's about this gentleman, Richard Gere, and he's married to Deborah Messing, and they're driving along, having a great time. They just closed on a house when so they're with their realtor and they're checking out all these houses and they're like, we really like this one. Let's go do it in the closet.
Well, the realtor is like, I'll give you some time.
Take a look around.
And I don't remember.
But that was time to think and look at the house, not time to go do it in the closet.
But did our realtor ever really let us, like, just, like, go explore? Like,
no.
He was always kind of with us.
Yeah.
So, I mean, maybe realtors do their thing, but that did seem really weird. He's like, yeah, just go ahead.
Take a look around.
Try not to go into any closets and do it.
Right? So they're getting frisky, and the realtor opens the closet and's like, so we doing this or not?
They are.
And they're like, yeah, we'll take it. And then they close the doors, and the realtor's just like standing there. It's very awkward. So anyway, they close on this house, and they're driving home. And this is all on Christmas Eve. Who looks at a house on Christmas Eve?
People want a house. Boom.
If I was a realtor, I'd be like, sorry. This realtor is closed.
I don't know if that got caught on the audio. That was a giant clap of thunder that
scared
that spooked Heidi.
It shook the house.
I wonder if we'll be able to hear that on the playback. That was fun.
Anyway, that, like, my heart's like. So they're driving home, and Deborah Musson's driving, and she's like, "Woo, we have our dream house. This is great. Life is grand." And then she sees something in the shape of a bat, moth, human, cryptid thing. And she spins. There, it's snowing, by the way. It's Christmas, you know, it makes sense.
Well, and it swoops down,
it
like,
swoops
into
down,
the car.
Like, into the window of the driving.
The windshield?
The driving window.
The driving window.
And so they're hydroplaning, and they hit a tree, and she smacks her head real hard. And
you thought she was
fine.
Like,
I thought that's how she died. I thought she was like, and we're done here. Nah. So she goes to the hospital, and she's like, you didn't see it, did you? And he's like, what are you talking about? She's like, oh, never mind. I'm embarrassed.
The Mothman.
They later discover, while she's in the hospital, because she's got to get a CAT scan, she hit her head really hard in a car accident, that she has a brain tumor. Super downer of a movie. I'm like, wow. Merry
Yay.
Christmas. So she has a brain tumor, and spoilers, she doesn't make it. And in her journal that she was writing in while she was in the hospital, she just draws all these pictures of the Mothman and...
In lipstick.
And with her lipstick, yeah, there's lots of red imagery in this
yeah,
movie.
Yeah, we'll get to the interesting motifs.
And she also wrote 999 Denver on one of them. She did write that in her journal. So anyway, flash forward 2 years later, because she's passed on, and Richard Gere, who is a reporter of politics?
Yeah, I mean, he's a reporter, a journalist.
Cool. From D.C. Mm-hmm. of the Washington. And I don't know why I did a
okay.
gangster sign. So he's driving for some reason. We don't know. And he ends up in West Virginia and knocks on this guy's house at like 2:30 in the morning. And he's like, hey, my car died, which it did. And his watch died. And he's like, I need to... borrow your phone. And the guy,
which when I was rewatching it, I was like, is that like a Mothman power, like power to stop vehicles?
That's what I thought it was, like, or maybe it was like a weird zone where just like power doesn't work.
No, but it's because like he lost track of time and he just ran out of gas.
What about his watch?
I don't know,
it ran out of battery.
Okay, so fine, magic Mothman.
I'm the Mothman prophecy.
Mothman.
Naked Man.
What was that, like Naked Man? So he holds a shotgun to him and he's like, hey, this is the third time you've done this. Like the third time.
The person
in a row.
He knocked on his door, not yeah. Richard Gere. Richard Gere did not come up to someone's house. And he's like, hey, this is the third night. You've stopped my car, Mothman.
So the stranger's like, he's like, hey, you've done this three times. I'm calling the cops. And Richard Gere's like, what are you talking about? This is the first time I've been here. My car legitimately stopped. Like, I just wanted help. I'm so sorry. And the cop, Laura Linney, shows up and she's, I don't know what she says. She's just like, they're nice people. Let's leave them alone.
Why don't you put down the gun and just tell me what's going on here?
I don't think that's what she said.
Yeah,
let's go with it.
That's what she said. So anyway, the movie is weird. I like, I don't know if I lost focus or I was just confused at what was happening, but I don't know what happened next.
there is an intentional... The nature of the movie is to kind of make you question and to be psychological. And I think it's a lot like Donnie Darko, and I want to get into that when we get into our review section, but that's kind of the best way that I can like set up it. Like an early 2000 movie intentionally kind of trying to mess with your perception and your reality as you watch this film. So there is some intended quality, but I think it's good because of that, but we'll get there. But
so
she introduces that, like, there's been all this weird stuff in
Pleasant. All these weird things are happening in Point Pleasant, West Virginia.
That's important.
Yes, that is important. It's also pleasant. So she says, all these weird things have been happening. And he's like, hey, let's be really good friends. And she's like, all right.
Yeah, there's like an almost romantic subplot that like doesn't really
happen
go anywhere, which is fine. Like movies don't need to necessarily have a romantic subplot, but it seemed like
it was awkward.
It was like, wait, is this supposed to be a thing? Because it's not a thing.
And also Richard Gere becomes friends with the people that he banged on their house.
Gordon.
Gordon and his wife. So anyway, so they're all like friends and they're trying to discover all these weird happenings. Like people have been drawing the Mothman. They've been claiming that they've seen him. Some people have like this red thing in their eye after they've like made eye contact with them. And sometimes it goes away. Sometimes it doesn't. And one day, Gordon calls Richard Gere's hotel and he's like, hey, the Mothman's here. And he told me, what's up?
Well, and at this point, like the Mothman is now has a name.
Oh, yeah, I don't remember his name.
Ingrid Cold.
Is Ingrid Cold?
Ingrid?
Cold.
Cold. Ingrid is a woman's name.
Wow, that's a little sexist. Ingrid can be Ingrid Bergman.
Is that a man?
I don't remember. I think I'm actually totally wrong. I think that was an actress.
So,
It doesn't call itself Mothman is the important thing.
Yeah.
But it's kind of understood to be the Mothman.
Yes. Who has red glowing eyes, if I didn't mention that. So he gets on the phone with the Mothman or Ingrid. And Ingrid's like, hey, so this tragedy is going to happen in Denver. On the 999 will die or something like that. And then flash forward, they're in a cafe. And they see on the news, Flight 9, which also, when is a flight a single digit?
I don't know, maybe.
Flight 9 in Denver has crashed and killed 99 people. So it's
spooky.
So this basically keeps happening where all these different prophecies, the Mothman will call and be like, hey, this is happening. And Richard Gere's like, all right, I want to prevent these things from happening. Also, I miss my wife. Let's chat with her.
Yeah, Ingrid is kind of like dangling that like you'll like, be able to like talk to your wife
if you take my call. Like there is very confusing. So anyway, Laura Linney tells him this dream she had about her drowning surrounded by Christmas presents.
Just presents.
Christmas presents and she hears a voice saying, wake up number 37. Okay, that's important. So fast forward, he goes to visit this guy in Chicago who's seen the Mothman. Basically, all these little Mothman things here and there. And the Mothman's like calling him on the phone and telling him all these tragedies that happen. And Laura Linney's like, I don't buy it.
But he also like spends his time be like, you're holding chapstick. Do you remember that?
No.
When he's like, what's in my hand? Richard Gere.
Oh, yeah. Or he's like, what's in my shoe?
He like hides his phone
this,
in his shoe.
What's this line in this book I'm reading?
I was like,
because the Mothman can read minds or is everywhere.
Has a
is
greater
in his room?
Perception.
There was this cool scene with a mirror where Richard Gere is on the phone and he turns his head one way and his reflection turns it the other way, but it's delayed. And so it's like the Mothman was there. I don't know. It was cool. I like that. That's like the only part I liked.
Oh.
So anyway, so the last prophecy he gets is about a tragedy on the Ohio River, and he thinks it's going to be the power plant blowing up, and it's not. So he is driving to Laura Linney's on Christmas Eve, and all these people get stuck on this bridge, which is on the Ohio River.
And then he's like, oh my gosh.
Yes. And then the bridge collapses, and all these people die, and Laura Linney's car goes in the water, and he sees that because she's a cop. She had her lights on. That's how he knew it was her, because she's the only cop in this town.
Apparently.
And dives in and gets her, and she's surrounded by Christmas presents, and it's like her dream. And at the end, this other guy comes up to him, and he's like, oh, man, this is bad. 36 people have died. And it's like, Laura Linney was number 37. What? And then that's where it ends. It's
okay, so since you're very ready to discuss this, let's move on to your review. So if you were a moth, how bright, 1 out of 10, would you rate this movie?
I wish you could see my face. 0 out of 10.
I think that's way too harsh.
I hated it.
What? You didn't hate it.
I hated it.
Okay, what did you dislike about it? I want some actual criticism, not just, I didn't like it.
So, okay, the imagery, and I don't think it was because it was old. I think they did it on purpose. It was very blurry at times, and that really bothered me. I didn't like it when it was like the Mothman's perspective, and it would go from like...
Oh, like these, the POV flybys, yeah, but it was kind of like grainy.
Or these like bright, grainy colors. And then it would turn yellow. I didn't like that. I didn't like that it didn't make sense. Like, it was just very confusing. For me, I like a story. Okay, I like thinky movies. Like, I like something that makes you think. But this wasn't one of those for me. This was just confusing. The plot didn't make sense to me, and why Deborah Messing was still involved even though she was dead. Like, I just don't know what the Mothman wanted and why they were telling these prophecies. And for me, since that didn't get resolved, I didn't like it.
I'll give you that. The Mothman or Ingrid Cold or whatever, you know.
Also, why did he get a name?
Well,
multiple of them.
I'll get to that, and some of the research that I did on the background of the movie will maybe help it make sense on why there were some decisions. But I agree with you that within the film, there isn't a good justification for like the Mothman. And like at one point, they he talks to the guy in Chicago. I think his name's Leek.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, well, like, it's not even like, how does he do this? But like, why does the Mothman or the Mothmen people, the Mothmenies, why? And he describes it like, well, it's like, someone being on a skyscraper washing windows and like looking down and seeing a car crash, like they can see further down the road.
Now that doesn't mean he's God or even smarter than we are. But from where he's sitting, he can see a little further down the road.
Which is fine. I'll buy that that's kind of the metaphor for how they can... have this prophecy power, but that doesn't explain them why he's sharing that information, because then
exactly. He
later says, he's like, well, like, I don't understand, like, if they're a higher being, like, why are they communicating? Then the Leek guy is like, well, you're a higher being than a cockroach. Have you ever tried to explain yourself to them?
You're more advanced than a cockroach. Have you ever tried explaining yourself to one of them?
And I'm like, well, then you've made it even a worse point, because... That really doesn't explain, because it's like,
I will tell the cockroach that I'm going to step on it next time.
Oh my gosh, it's a prophecy. So I'll agree with you there that it doesn't really make sense on like why the Mothman, why he would want to prevent these tragedies or inform anyone.
And why does he keep bothering Richard Gere specifically? And why is he take my call and your wife will talk to you? They, like, it didn't make any sense. Well,
They have a throwaway line that says, it noticed that you noticed it.
You noticed them, and they noticed that you noticed them.
Like, that's the explanation.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's a good explanation. I'm just saying that the movie does provide some level of it.
It just made me feel, like, yucky. I don't know.
Was it like the claustrophobic cinematography? Like, was it some of the choices?
Yeah, I think it was some of the cinematography choices, and also that there wasn't really a solid plot or resolution. It just left me feeling bleh. Like, I didn't like it. And then I had super funky dreams last night. I don't remember them now, but I remember I had two super funky dreams.
Funky dreams.
Yeah.
So, I like I said earlier, I think this is similar to Donnie Darko.
But I actually liked that one.
Well, I think they're similar, though, from the standpoint of, like, you kind of have to do a couple of viewings for this to make probably a little bit more sense. I think the structure of Donnie Darko is better, but I liked a lot of the choices and some of the headiness of it. Like, I liked the red motif.
Yeah, I like that. I'll give them that.
The, you know, they had, like, two Christmas trees that looked like the two red eyes. They had, like, several times where you saw, like, taillights, obviously looking like this, the Mothman's iconic red eyes. But my favorite one was on the bridge with the guy who had the classic car.
Mm-hmm.
And he, like, looked up and the bridge had two, like, red lights on it, like, probably, like, airline lights. Mm-hmm. And it, like, looked like a shadowy, like, looming Mothman, like, standing over. And then, like, the cable snaps and, like, comes down and kills him.
Yeah.
So, like, to me, it was almost like, okay, could the Mothman that some of these people have been seeing itself have been a prophecy? But what he wasn't actually seeing a Mothman, he was seeing his own death, and the only way his mind could kind of wrap around it was to create this creature.
What I was confused about too is in scenes the Mothman would just swoop in and then, like, I don't know
Mothman.
What he would do. Just be a Mothman, but then make people have red eyes. And I don't know. It was just...
I'll explain the red eyes. Some of it makes a lot more sense, I think, if you read the book. And full disclosure, I have not read the book, but I've tried to do enough research where I kind of get where a lot of it was coming from. But, okay, so 1 out of 10.
0.
0 out of 10. I couldn't even get a 1 out of 10.
You're lucky I didn't go negative.
Wow.
I really didn't like
it. Wow. Rough crowd. I'd give it like a 7.
Ah.
Ah.
I enjoyed it. I also saw it, you know, when I was a lot younger. So to me, it's a different, I'm not watching an almost 20-year-old movie. You know, I watched it when I was like, whoa, this was weird. And like, it was in the time where like the internet was a lot less.
Mm-hmm.
So it felt like it kind of like, I remember watching it being like, was this real? Like,
I mean, it said based on a true story.
Well, and it was one of those where like in my head at the time, I was like, this is really creepy because like this seemed like it could have been real because there was enough like truth in some of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and now watching it, I'm like, you know, nah, that was actually this and that was that. But I'd give it a little bit more. I liked some of the symbolism. I liked some of the choices, but
I will say, for a Laura Linney movie, she wasn't awful.
That's the best phrase you can give it. Not an awful Laura Linney movie. Okay, so we're going to move on to our next section called
Behind the Screams.
Ah!
No, you don't have to do that part because I add in the screen.
I know, I just felt compelled.
Ah! Okay.
The power of Christ compelled me.
So... a little bit, and I, as I had mentioned before, this is based on a book called The Mothman Prophecies that
by John
was
Keel.
Published in 1975. Yes, by John Keel. It is directed by Mark Pellington, but I kept saying Mark Peloton.
Peloton.
So Mark Pellington, he was mostly a music video director.
Oh, that's an odd choice.
He's done some stuff, but a lot of it has been music videos. And this is a fun fact for me and hopefully for you. You remember in Almost Famous,
okay,
there is a bouncer guy in like a yellow shirt and he's got like glasses and he's like stopping the little nerdy guy from going like backstage and then the Band-Aids come in.
Yes, that big bouncer guy? Yeah.
That is Mark.
Oh no, not this one.
Oh.
That is Mark Pellington right there. So he was a largely music video director and bouncer in Almost Famous.
There you go.
Yeah. The screenplay was written by Richard, I think it's pronounced Haddam, but to me, I want to say Haddam.
Because I hate this movie.
He was actually a co-executive producer of 21 episodes of Supernatural.
Oh.
which I thought was a fun connection. He wrote two episodes, one called Asylum and the other Phantom Traveler. I both believe are in the first season.
I think so.
So I thought that was kind of cool. So to get a little bit, just to get kind of into the background. So in reality, 46 people actually died on the Silver Bridge collapse.
So much for number 37.
And so, yeah, it's not 36 in the film. According to Mark, the studio didn't want to kill too many people, so they made the number lower. and Mark chose his
father. But it was based off of a true event.
Mark chose his father's football number, 36. That was the reasoning for that.
Got it.
And what he had told EW.com is it's really very fictionalized. Maybe it would have been more accurate to say inspired by true events rather than based on true events. And getting into the weeds of really where some of, I won't say the truth, but the truth as far as people report and understand it in these events. Mm-hmm. So do you want to move on to
the truth?
Much as you try to bury it, the truth is out there.
Yeah, I want to find out.
All right. So the first event actually doesn't deal with the Mothman.
Okay.
It happened in November 2nd, 1966. So Woodrow Derenberger was driving his truck on Route 77 in Parkersburg, West Virginia. And a flying saucer, which was a metallic cigar-shaped craft, traveled next to his truck and then blocked him on the road. A being exited out of the craft and walked up to Derenberg's truck window. He looked like an ordinary man, 6 feet tall, about 35 years of age, olive complexion, dark brown hair, and wearing a glossy metallic dark blue coat. The man spoke telepathically with a mixed smile on his face and called himself Ingrid Cold.
My name is Ingrid Cold.
Interesting. See, I believe this, and this creeps me out way more.
So it keeps going. So over the course of the month that followed, Derenberg and Cold would meet several times. Derenberg actually claimed that he would be taken to outer space, and at one point was missing for several months, and he told his wife and kids that he was with Ingrid Cold. He would receive mental messages from Cold and have migraines. His residents would receive strange phone calls, sometimes threats to stop speaking about his experience, or odd beeps and electric hums. Even after their number was unlisted, the calls would continue. Mm. So William Patton's character, Gordon, is based on Derenberger. Mm. And you can kind of see some of that with the communication of Ingrid Cold. Sad story is Derenberger's wife did actually leave him, just like in Gordon's case. And what's interesting is tied to this story are actually Men in Black. And John Keel, the author of The Mothman Prophecies, is actually the one who popularized the name Men in Black and MIB.
Interesting.
Yeah. So that was November 2nd. So fast forward 10 days and you have Kenneth Duncan and four other men who are digging a grave for Duncan's brother-in-law in a cemetery near Clendenin, West Virginia. I apologize for mucking that. When he saw a man-like figure fly from some nearby trees. The other men didn't see it, and Duncan described it as a brown creature that was no bird. Hmm. However, this wouldn't be reported until several days later, when, on November 15th, probably the most famous Mothman encounter happened. So the headline read, couples see man-sized bird, ... creature, ... something. And this was published in Point Pleasant Register on November 16th, so the following day. So there were two married couples, Roger and Linda Scarberry. Scarberry.
Scarberry.
You little Scarberries. Roger and Linda Scarberry and Steve and Mary Millette, and they described seeing a man-sized bird-like creature in the TNT area around midnight. So what's really important is the first like couple descriptions, no one calls him Mothman. Like not a lot of people, they mostly he's just kind of a more of a bird man.
He sounds like a bat man to me.
Well, no, we'll get to that because there's a connection there with the 1966 Batman.
Oh, that's funny.
Which is when this was taking place. But you're jumping ahead.
Sorry.
So he's not a moth, and it's not a cement factory like in the film. It's a TNT. It was like an old like World War II like TNT
dynamite factory.
So, like it's like a storage area, from my understanding.
Hmm.
So they had, you know, this nice classic 1957 Chevy, mm-hmm. and they were driving around. Who knows what they were doing, but
we know what they were doing.
Oh my. And all of a sudden, this large being about 6 or 7 feet tall, not 8 feet, like they describe it in the movie.
8 feet tall.
With having a wingspan of 10 feet and red eyes about 2 inches in diameter and 6 inches apart. The red eyes could only be seen when light reflected on them. So they weren't like red glowing eyes. It was like, you know, like with a cat.
Yeah.
They had that like backlight reflection. Mm-hmm. So it was hovering, just kind of flying circles around Scarberry's car. And I didn't check the exact model, but it looks like a like 57 Chevy in the movie.
Hmm.
But the real Chevy was black, and this is like a teal or an aqua. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was like, okay, well, you're weirdly like kind of almost accurate there with that couple
mm-hmm.
That saw the Mothman. But so it was following them for a while. And then eventually
that's
it
terrifying.
Just, yeah. So like, and they say like, they were like, you know, gunning it. And they said this thing could like fly at 100 miles per hour. Like it was like keeping up with them and like flying in the air.
That's seriously scary.
So it was like following them for a while, and they would like, you know, stop and try to like lose them. So 50 minutes before that event, there was Noelle Partridge, who lives about 100 miles to the north, saw a quote thing in the meadow near his home in Salem, West Virginia. So his television set started to quote, began acting like a generator, and Bandit, his German Shepherd, started carrying on something terrible. So Partridge went out to investigate and shined a flashlight onto the field and saw the same red reflector eyes. So that description carries over. Bandit's hair stood up, and then he ran into the field and never returned.
This is why I don't want to go camping.
So what's really odd about the Bandit story is Linda Scarberry's police report, right?
Mm-hmm.
She had described seeing a dead dog on the side of the road. So Roger Scarberry, also talks about seeing the same dead dog, and they actually went back to find it, and it was gone. So Partridge thinks that was Bandit, but it's kind of weird that there is this specific mention and this dog that disappeared. Like that is kind of a weird detail that
mm-hmm.
passes over
mm-hmm.
That I found really interesting. So. Because of this, then all of a sudden, you know, you started to get a lot more reports. So then on November 17th, the Huntington Herald Dispatch ran a headline, Bird, Plane, or Batman? Mason County's Hunt Mothman. So Batman started airing on January in 1966. And so some people believe that the name Mothman came from
Batman.
Batman, and also Batman has a villain called Killer Moth.
Oh.
And that, you know, somehow that kind of got mixed in. But that's the first place I can find of a headline referring to him as Mothman.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you think about it, like, moths aren't scary. Moths are super chill.
I mean, sure, but a giant man-sized winged creature flying 100 miles an hour after your car, I'd be like, I don't care what you are. It's scary.
Yeah.
So fast forward to December 7th, 1966, and that's where John Keel arrives in Point Pleasant because he was looking to write about UFOs for Playboy. And then
for Playboy?
Yeah, he was writing a Playboy article. Playboy actually had articles, and some of them were really good.
Articles of boobs.
Oh, and Mothman.
Naked Man.
So, you know, there was a lot of other like UFO activity, like Ingrid Cold and stuff happened in West Virginia. So he was kind of a UFOologist for that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really this is where you really start to see how much the movie was fictionalized. So first of all, it's John Keel, mm-hmm. not John Klein, like Richard Gere is called.
Mm-hmm.
He's not really a journalist. He was a writer, like he did
for Playboy
and other publications, and he wrote books. But he never worked for the Washington Post. He never lived in Washington, D.C., and he never married.
Hmm.
So that whole Deborah Messing thing is completely fictionalized. You know, I guess it's not as interesting of a story to have him on
Some
his own accord.
Guy.
Well, like on his own accord, drive to West Virginia, being like, just try to write for Playboy. So Leek, that other character.
Yeah.
is actually keel backwards. So it's supposed to be like two facets, like, you know, the writer, but also like the UFOologist or
Disney and Yin said.
I didn't write it, all right? You know, but that they're both kind of supposed to be keel in a way, which I think is kind of weird. But Laura Linney's character, mm-hmm. Connie Mills, it doesn't exist, kind of. Well, in
Kiel's, I love only existing partially.
in Kiel's book, she's Mary Heyer, who mm-hmm. was a journalist. So ironically, the real journalist...
And his wife's name was Mary.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know if that was some homage or... But she worked a lot alongside him.
Got it.
So they were kind of, you know, partners of sorts. And so a lot of the Mothman prophecies is like, he took all these like UFO reports and Ingrid Cold and Mothman and just kind of put all this like weird, strange stuff together mm-hmm. and then connected it, claiming that the Mothman had like was like a harbinger of doom. And he kind of connected all these weird, disparaging stories that don't seem to really connect in actuality.
Got it.
So that's where I think some of this strangeness is, because of Kiel's book trying to connect tissue that doesn't work.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So, and that's where, so the eye, the red eye thing with, from a motif standpoint, works well with Mothman, but it doesn't make much sense to your point.
Mm-hmm.
That's sometimes when people are exposed to like ultraviolet light for long periods of time.
Oh gosh.
That's called, and I apologize if I mispronounce this, Clegg conjunctivitis. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes that happens from people who are supposedly victims of like UFOs or abductions, is because like ultraviolet light. So there were some people that had experienced that, but again, that was like from supposed like UFO sightings, yeah. Not Mothman. So yeah, that's where some of that comes from.
See, aliens creep me way more than Mothman. Like, your stories here creep me out 1,000 times more than the movie did.
Well,
the movie didn't creep me out at all.
And then to, you know, put the final button at the end. So on December 15th, 1967. So at this point, he had been investigating for a year in West mm-hmm. Virginia. That is when the Silver Bridge collapse happened.
Oh.
So
was he in it?
I'll get there.
Oh.
So traffic lights were actually not working properly all day. Mm-hmm. So that part where it's like the guy who's just like, traffic lights are...
Some problem with the traffic lights.
So that part was totally true. And that's where there were a lot of cars on the Silver Bridge. John Kiel didn't rescue anyone because he was actually in New York when the bridge collapsed.
Oh.
So the story he tells is that he had been told by a man in black that the whole country would black out when a tree was lit. So the news of the Silver Bridge collapse interrupted the lighting ceremony broadcast of the Christmas tree lighting.
Yeah.
But it didn't happen on Christmas. This was actually on December 15th.
Hmm.
So their claim that the Silver Bridge was never explained is entirely false. The incident was found to be caused by the failure of an eye bar in a suspension chain, and that they figured that out in 1971. So they've known for many, many years. So I don't attribute any supernatural behavior to that. Unfortunately, I just kind of, I think there's possibly some truth to Men in Black, but I definitely don't.
Oh, definitely. I've seen videos. It's but, creepy. I like even thinking about them creeps me out.
Well, we're going to go over them sometime.
But
I don't know. I guess let's go on to our next segment. I want to believe. Heidi, do you believe it?
In the Mothman?
Hell no. So I guess we'll circle back. Do you believe the
in the
real
Mothman prophecies? No, it that there could be a cryptid of like a giant bat like humanoid. Sure. Yeah.
Okay. Do you think they're harbingers? No. Like they're that's what I don't think there's anything that
I don't think
states...
there's anything malicious with any cryptid in general. I don't think that I think they're just different.
Yeah, I find that weird that it's kind of been attributed to this like thing of doom.
Evil.
But when I think that's really all John Keel's creation, or that was popularized by him, but nothing in the initial reports from all those individuals in West Virginia, like the thing's just kind of flying around and being a nuisance. Like it is definitely destructive. I mean,
that would be terrifying. Don't get me wrong.
But I don't believe that its presence then caused this bridge collapse. No. I think there was a tragedy. It happened in West Virginia, and John Keel was looking for a way to dramatize and possibly explain. You know, maybe there was him trying to like mentally justify a tragedy. I don't know.
Also, like with all the UFO stuff happening in that area, like could the Mothman, quote unquote, actually be some type of alien?
Yeah, and there's some that believe that. So there are some possible explanations. One person said it could be a sandhill crane.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I do. So when we were in Florida, we would see them all the time.
All the time.
I will tell you, that bird is not and would not be confused as 6 or 7 feet and humanoid.
No. What about that other bird that's like, its beak sounds like shotguns, like bullets?
Well,
I'm talking about.
Yeah, but I don't know where those are.
But those are so scary.
Sure, but that's not.
If I saw that, I would faint.
Oh my gosh. So a lot of people have been like, that's nonsense. There is, of course, the classic weather balloon, because I guess that's how you explain away just any old thing. Like, it was a weather balloon. It definitely wasn't. Nah, it was a weather balloon.
Yeah.
And some people think it might have been an owl.
A giant ass owl?
Well, I mean, that's probably one of the better explanations, is if you want to really ground it and explain it away in natural causes.
Hmm.
An owl is better than, I think, a sandhill crane. And a UFO, you know, or some kind of creature of sorts. What's really interesting is Keel didn't agree with what's called the extraterrestrial hypothesis. So he believed that aliens or individuals in UFOs or beings or whatever you want to call them were advanced humans or ultra-terrestrials or interdimensionals. Like, he didn't believe they were, like, visitors from another planet or world.
Okay.
Have you seen a
picture of, like, the Mothman that, like, someone's allegedly taken?
Yeah.
It looks like a guy with a jetpack that has wings. That's what it looks like
Mothman
to me.
Mothman alone. I love Mothman. He's one of my favorite cryptids.
I hate him
so
much. Ironic. So proof that your phones listen to you, because we watched this movie yesterday and then I'm on TikTok.
Oh, no.
And some random TikTok comes up, and I haven't done any Mothman research on my phone or anything, right? Some random TikTok comes up of this person putting a bumper sticker on their car that says, like, something about Mothman eating out their ass. I don't know.
It's not appropriate.
It's really weird. But, like, how did that happen? Like, why would that show up on my For You page?
Yeah. No, I really like Mothman. He's one of my favorites. So I'm sorry.
I hope we'll be very happy together.
I'm sorry you don't care so much for Mothman. Let me know. I'm curious, you know, how much other people, you know, I only kind of dove a little bit into. There are some people who have really gone down the deep end of the Mothman rabbit hole. What do you think? Do you believe in Mothman? Do you think that, you know, what do you think he might be? I'm genuinely curious. Do you just think Mothman is Mothman and that's it? Like, he is just some sort of creature?
I think like the cryptid could be true. I don't think it's a giant moth by any means, but I think it could be like some weird bird thing.
Do you think it could be like an extraterrestrial?
Oh, for sure.
Because I just
aliens
find
creep me. Like, you know, I've had some weird UFO experience. I'm from Arizona, guys. So, yeah.
We'll get into that at some point. I think that'd be fun to explore. But I don't know if I believe that they're a natural creature if they exist. I think that they might be, you know, some sort of, you know, maybe extraterrestrial. I could buy that.
Mm-hmm.
I do find it interesting that there was, you know, a lot of UFO activity in Ingrid Cold.
Yeah, that's really weird in the West Virginia area. It's interesting.
So I don't know, but I'd love to know what you guys think. So if you would like to hear more of this, please let us know if you have some suggestions for episodes. I haven't quite settled on what we might do next. Heidi is insisting that she get to pick it.
Yes.
What would you pick if you could do the next one?
Something with witchcraft.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh.
So let us know. Do you guys have a different idea? Maybe an episode you'd like us to explore or show? Let us know your thoughts. We love hearing from you guys. My name is Devin.
My name is Heidi.
And thank you so much for joining us for Stranger Than Fiction.
Ta-ta.